What if the very thing we brag about sacrificing is the foundation of everything we're trying to achieve? We've turned sleeplessness into a competitive sport, measuring our worth by how little rest we need. Type "Why am I?" into Google, and the first suggestion that appears is, "Why am I so tired?" A collective cry from a civilization running on empty. We're living through a paradox. We know more about sleep than any generation before us, yet we're sleeping worse than ever. The science is clear and compelling. Sleep isn't downtime. It's when our brains consolidate memories, flush out toxins, and restore our bodies for the challenges ahead. Yet somehow, we've convinced ourselves that sleep is negotiable, a luxury for the weak, time stolen from productivity. This delusion costs us dearly. After just 17 hours awake, our cognitive function resembles someone legally drunk. We're making life-altering decisions, driving cars, and raising children in states we'd never tolerate if alcohol were the cause. The question isn't whether we can afford to sleep more, it's whether we can afford not to. Sarvashresh Gupta worked 100-hour weeks at Goldman Sachs before taking his own life in 2015. His story represents an extreme endpoint of our relationship with rest, but the warning signs surround us. Japan, China, and Korea each have words for death by overwork: karoshi, gwalausi, gwarasa, yet English has no equivalent. Perhaps we've normalized the casualties. The numbers are sobering. 40% of Americans sleep less than 7 hours nightly. Tokyo averages 5 hours and 45 minutes, and technology has dissolved boundaries between work and home. Bodies aren't machines. Sleep 5 hours or less, and your death risk jumps 15%. Sleep disorders correlate with strokes, fatal accidents, and certain cancers. Your immune system weakens, hunger hormones destabilize, and Alzheimer's proteins accumulate because the glymphatic system, your brain's cleaning crew, only operates during deep sleep. Drowsy driving causes 328,000 accidents and 6,400 deaths yearly in America alone. The inequality runs deeper. Those working multiple jobs or living in unsafe neighborhoods face compounded barriers to rest, creating a vicious cycle where those who most need resilience have the least opportunity to build it. We wake to alarm clocks, literal danger signals, flooding our bodies with stress hormones before we've even opened our eyes. Americans filled 55 million prescriptions for sleeping pills in 2014, fueling a $58 billion global market. UCLA's Jerome Siegel predicts that in 20 years, people will look back on the sleeping pill era as we now look back on the acceptance of cigarette smoking. These medications don't provide genuine restorative sleep. They render us unconscious, causing bizarre blackout behaviors like unconscious driving and forgotten shopping sprees. Taking as few as 18 doses yearly triples mortality risk. This creates a perfect circle of commodified burnout. We take pills to knock ourselves out, then reach for hypercaffeinated drinks or prescription stimulants like Provigil and Adderall, marketed as smart drugs, despite research suggesting they may reduce brain plasticity and creativity. We're constantly forcing our bodies into unnatural states, tired when we should be alert and wired when we should be winding down. College campuses have become training grounds for this dysfunction, with students wearing exhaustion as achievement. What we're facing isn't a medical crisis requiring pharmaceutical solutions. It's a lifestyle crisis that's much harder to market our way out of. Throughout history, sleep held profound significance. The Upanishads portrayed dreams as journeys between realms. Joseph's dream interpretation earned him status in Egypt. Greeks and Romans had sleep gods, Hypnos and Somnus, viewing sleep as a middle state between life and death. Pre-industrial people typically slept in two periods, with wakeful interludes for prayer, intimacy, and dream interpretation. Homer referenced this first sleep in the Odyssey, and Poe described the fancies arising upon the very brink of sleep, insights accessible only in that liminal space. The Industrial Revolution shattered this relationship. Artificial light colonized the night, mechanization monetized it. Sleep became scorned as wasted productivity, Edison declared sleep an absurdity, a bad habit, bragging about needing only 4 hours. Cold war anxieties weaponized productivity. Shorter hours became suspiciously communist. By 1987, Americans worked 163 more hours annually than in 1969. Meanwhile, sleep science was building a counter-revolution. Nathaniel Kleitman established the first sleep laboratory in 1925. Eugene S. Orinsky discovered REM sleep in 1953. By the 21st century, researchers had proven sleep wasn't empty time, but intense neurological activity, renewal, memory consolidation, toxin removal. Ancient wisdom was validated by modern science, yet cultural attitudes lagged dangerously behind.
What happens when we sleep? Far from shutting down, our brains engage in processes so vital that the drive to sleep can supersede even hunger. We cycle through 4 distinct stages: light transitional sleep, deeper sleep with slowing eye movements, slow wave deep sleep with high amplitude delta waves, and REM sleep, characterized by rapid eye movements, shallow breathing, increased heart rate, and brainwaves resembling our waking state while muscles remain paralyzed. Think of sleep as your brain's cleaning crew. The glymphatic system operates at higher rates during sleep, flushing out toxic waste proteins that accumulate between brain cells. Dr. Mike Niedergaard describes it as like a dishwasher. The brain must choose between being awake and aware or asleep and cleaning up. Without adequate sleep, these toxins build up, potentially causing irreversible brain cell loss and contributing to diseases like Alzheimer's. Sleep and memory are inseparable. When participants were kept awake for 62 hours, none could complete simple cognitive tasks. Studies show 17 to 20% improvement in learning finger tapping sequences after sleep, and nearly 29% for the most challenging tasks. Your brain isn't resting. It's actively processing, consolidating, and strengthening the neural connections that form memories and skills. The physical health impacts are equally dramatic. People averaging less than 7 hours of sleep are nearly 3 times more likely to catch a cold when exposed to rhinovirus. Sleep efficiency, the percentage of time actually spent asleep, is an even stronger predictor. Those with 92% efficiency were 5.5 times more likely to develop colds than those at 98%. Despite many claiming they're fine on minimal sleep, less than 1% of the population qualifies as genuine short sleepers, those able to function optimally on minimal rest due to a specific genetic mutation. For the remaining 99% of us, sleep researcher Till Ronenberg suggests, once we really understand what sleep does, we will not choose to shorten it. Dreams offer access to dimensions beyond our data-driven waking consciousness. While many cultures revered dreams as pathways to wisdom, our modern world dismisses them, at significant cost. Sigmund Freud viewed dreams as symbolic manifestations of repressed desires. Carl Jung saw something deeper: dreams as manifestations of the collective unconscious, a voice of God connecting our conscious mind with our original mind, restoring psychological balance. The creative potential is staggering. Harvard psychiatrist J. Allen Hobson called dreaming our most creative conscious state, where spontaneous recombination produces genuinely novel ideas. Scientific breakthroughs credited to dreams include Elias Howe's sewing machine needle, Dmitri Mendeleev's periodic table, and Friedrich Kekulé's benzene ring structure. Most famously, Larry Page conceived Google in a dream, later telling graduates, "When a really great dream shows up, grab it." During dreams, our brainstem activates the limbic system, processing emotions and memories. Without external stimuli, the brain creates meaning from internal signals, making dreams emotionally potent even when cognitively chaotic. Finnish psychologist Antti Revonsuo's threat simulation theory suggests dreams evolve to safely rehearse dangerous situations. Dreams also enhance learning. Beth Israel researchers found participants who dreamed about a virtual maze improved 10 times more than those who didn't. Lucid dreaming, being aware you're dreaming while inside the dream, allows control over the experience. Benefits include overcoming nightmares, rehearsing real-life skills, and spending time with deceased loved ones. Jung wrote that
great innovations never come from above. They come invariably from below. Small changes yield significant results. Adults need 7 hours minimum. Optimize your environment. Maintain 60 to 66 degrees. Minimize light. Remove electronics. The 71% of Americans sleeping with phones sabotage themselves nightly. Exercise creates a virtuous cycle. 150 minutes weekly improves sleep, which enables better workouts. Time food wisely. Caffeine 6 hours before bed cuts sleep by an hour. Alcohol disrupts the second half. For stress, meditation offers powerful relief. Stanford found mindfulness helped people fall asleep twice as quickly. Effective techniques include mind dumps, writing tomorrow's tasks, bedtime rituals, reframing nighttime wakefulness as meditation, and 4-7-8 breathing. Professional sports prove sleep's effectiveness. Stanford's Sherry Ma found basketball players sleeping 8.5 hours improved sprint times by 0.7 seconds and shooting accuracy by 9%. Andre Iguodala's consistent 8 hours delivered 29% more points per minute and doubled three-point percentage. We're witnessing a sleep renaissance. Sleep offers more than performance. It provides surrender from our doing-obsessed culture and restoration of the humanity we've been sacrificing one sleepless night at a time.